For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included in the print version are omitted from this audio version. Evaluating and training ministerial candidates. We should always be on the alert for prospective ministerial candidates, as there is an ongoing need for those who are qualified and willing to serve the Lord in this capacity. As we interact with the members of our congregation, we will observe those who have received the three foundational spiritual experiences of salvation, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and are good followers, demonstrate a consistent prayer life, show leadership ability, are faithful in their attendance and service, clearly have the interest of the Lord's work at heart, and who in all things show a pattern of good works. If we suspect that God may be calling such a one into the ministry, we should begin by taking the matter before the Lord in prayer. As we continue to observe the individual and pray, in time we may feel led to discuss with our district superintendent or the superintendent general the possibility that the Lord may be calling that person into the ministry. This step is necessary because they may be aware of situations that would suggest a need to wait or possibly even disqualify the candidate from service in the ministry. Upon approval, we are then free to initiate a conversation with the person regarding whether he or she feels that God is calling them to a new field of service as a minister of the gospel. The timing of this discussion is discretionary. If the prospective ministerial candidate is married, we should also consider the individual's spouse. Before moving forward, we will want to be sure of the spouse's spiritual qualifications and support for the ministerial call. We should also confirm that the candidate's home life is in accord with biblical standards. When we see the evidence of a divine call on an individual's life, we have a responsibility to do all we can to encourage that one and to provide opportunities for his or her talents. One part of Paul's challenge to Timothy was the instruction, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Training a new minister takes time, commitment, and energy, but it pays great dividends. Just as well-trained marathon runners have a better chance at finishing the race, well-trained ministers have a better potential for success in ministry. Ministerial training, like any other type of training, is an activity involving instruction, implementation, observation, and evaluation. Instruction. Perhaps the first step is to provide the ministerial candidate or new minister with a copy of the Apostolic Faith Minister's Manual. This book will review the basic doctrines upon which this work was founded and will also give insight into the biblical qualifications for one entering the ministry, the duties of a minister, general instructions regarding services, and many other necessary topics. When the minister has read through it, you should make yourself available to answer any questions and discuss the topics covered. You will want to be sure that he or she thoroughly understands and supports the doctrinal position of the Apostolic Faith Organization. You will also want to make sure that the beginning minister signs up on our corporate website at www.apostolicfaith.org and registers as a minister. That grants access to the various ministerial training sessions that have taken place at the headquarters in Portland, Oregon, over the past number of years. A number of other instruction tools that equip a minister for this God-given role will also be found there. Encourage prospective and new ministers to make every effort to attend the camp meetings and special services held at the Portland headquarters or their nearest district headquarters. These sessions provide invaluable opportunities to immerse ourselves in the study of God's Word, fellowship with and learn from other godly men and women, and observe firsthand what it means to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. A very critical part of instructing new ministers is to be good role models ourselves. They will learn much by watching us, so we must be very careful regarding what we teach by example. We will be instructing them to be in their place on time, love the congregation members, show mercy and forgiveness, move slowly when problems arise, be aware that there are two sides to every story, live debt-free, follow God's leading, do all things decently and in order, be positive, uplifting, and encouraging, and be a person of prayer. Let us make sure that we lead by example in these and other aspects of effective ministry, so that we can say with Paul the Apostle, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Implementation. There are several steps we can take to prepare prospective ministers for preaching. They should be used in teaching Sunday school classes. This will be especially beneficial if they can teach in the adult age groups. They may be able to lead a vacation Bible school event, give a devotional in a youth camp setting, or be a part of an outreach team. Ask them to share in other aspects of your worship services, such as leading in prayer or reading a scripture passage. If your local congregation holds meetings in jails or care facilities, this can be a good place to ask them to offer a short message. If the ministerial candidate is of an appropriate age to participate in youth events and services, these can be excellent training grounds. If the local congregation is small and no youth services are held, arrange for the new minister to bring the word one of the weeknight services, which typically are attended for the most part by regular church members. We should remind ourselves that training a new minister means trusting an inexperienced person with opportunities for significant service assignments. However, we can be assured that the God who equipped a shepherd boy to be a king and entrusted a young Jewish maiden to raise his only son will be there to help, guide, and strengthen the dedicated but inexperienced new preacher who accepts the challenge of delivering the Word of God. Observation. As the new minister begins to accept more responsibilities in God's service, a necessary part of our mentoring role is that of observation. We will want to unobtrusively monitor how he or she is doing, noting particular strengths and talents as well as areas where instruction is needed. As we meet with the person one-on-one, we should do our best to establish a level of trust and friendship that will give the beginning minister freedom to express his concerns and questions. It will be important to offer encouragement at this stage. We should be sympathetic, supportive, and give attention to feelings of inadequacies or uncertainty that emerge. Since God made us unique individuals, the new ministers we train will not necessarily have our personal strengths, preferences, or way of doing things. While there is room in the gospel for a variety of styles and manners of expression, it will be vital for us to both verbalize and consistently model loyalty and wholehearted commitment to the apostolic faith doctrine and practices. Evaluation. We want to be sure that the evaluation phase of the training process is done in a spirit of love, fairness, compassion, and humility. No matter how many years of experience we may have in the ministry, we are all still learning. Even Paul the Apostle, after exhorting the believers at Philippi, acknowledged, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." At times, the evaluation phase may be most useful when our own thoughts, observations, and impressions are combined with feedback from others. For example, if we do not have the opportunity to directly observe the new minister in the role of Sunday school teacher or gospel team participant, it would be appropriate to ask the department head or team leader for his or her input. Obviously, this must be done tactfully and care taken to preserve confidentiality and the spirit of unity. Some points to consider in the evaluation stage are: is the life and behavior of the new minister consistent with the biblical requirements for those in the ministry? Does evidence of an ongoing commitment to prayer and personal development exist? is faithfulness to sound doctrine and the practices of the Apostolic Faith Organization demonstrated? Is there follow-through on responsibility in the Lord's work? Are family commitments and employment obligations properly prioritized? Is there effective interaction with others in the church? Is concern and a servant's heart toward all demonstrated, along with an eagerness to reach out to the lost when there is an opportunity? After we have had a sufficient period of time to observe and evaluate the new minister, we will want to update our district supervisor or the superintendent general of how that one is progressing. As we do our best to identify individuals who may have a call to preach the word, we look to God for direction and wisdom in this important task. While our goal is to guide new ministers in the path of growing spiritual maturity and the development of ministerial skills, their ultimate success is not our responsibility. We may have a part in watering the seed, but it is God who gives the increase. It is very rewarding to see ones we have mentored grow and develop their talents and become capable workers in God's harvest field. When that happens, we will say with the Apostle John, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Counsel for ministers. There may be occasions when an individual approaches us and indicates that he or she feels a call to the ministry, or asks how a person knows if they are called to preach. Even if we feel assured that the person is spiritually qualified, it is advisable to refrain from moving forward with a commitment without first consulting with your district superintendent or superintendent general. At times when such an approach is made, we may feel certain the person is not spiritually qualified, or there are other reasons why he or she would be ineligible to participate in the ministry. Such cases must be handled carefully and with compassion and tact, so we do not discourage that one in their spiritual walk with God. We may wish to point out that everyone is called by God to serve in His kingdom, so in one sense of the word, every Christian is a minister. No task in God's service is above other tasks. Preaching the word is not a goal to achieve. Rather, we must all humbly submit ourselves to God and be willing to serve in whatever capacity He deems best. Many times those in spiritual authority in the church must wait before God to discern His leading before a clear conclusion can be reached regarding whether a person who feels he is called to preach should join the ranks of the ministry at that time. One indicator that an individual is called to preach is that nobody in the congregation is surprised when that individual steps to the pulpit for the first time to do so.